The question was asked, when we look at the world, so we're faced with a question. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Where's there room for man? And if God is everywhere, so then you can't say, I'm God, right? So how does that work in terms of, is he everywhere, is he not everywhere? In a nutshell. In Torah, we are taught that there are different amounts of revelation of Hashem. We are also taught that Hashem did something that we might be able to understand conceptually to some degree, and that is that Hashem minimized himself to make room for the world. Technically, he is all-encompassing. On the other hand, he made room for the world. Now, even from a halachic perspective, that's important, because otherwise you can get carried away. Maybe we should learn Torah in the bathroom. We say, you're not even allowed to think Torah in the bathroom. But what's wrong? God's everywhere, so isn't he in the bathroom too? No. So obviously we say that there are levels of revelation. And if Hashem says that there's a prophetic vision, there's the Holy of Holies, so there's a difference. It's not all places or people or times are created equal. But our first concept is that on some level, what Chabad likes to call tzimtzum, Hashem made room for the creation of the world. The Pasuk says, Tole eretz al beli ma. Hashem keeps the world hanging on a nothing, but Hashem keeps the world hanging. We say in prayer every morning, Yotzer or, Hashem is constantly creating light. Meaning we view the world as a constant act of creation. Now, if you want to discuss this from a scientific perspective, you can discuss the concept of energy. We don't have an understanding of where energy comes from. We're always dealing with step 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. We're never dealing with step 1. No one ever asks, okay, why do protons attract electrons? Where's that force coming from? How come you have the motion of the planets or the atom? Where's all that energy coming from, right? We're always dealing with understanding the energy once it exists. It's a given there's an energy. It's a given that sperm hits an embryo, hits the egg, and you can develop a baby. Wait. So you analyze how the sperm cell moves. Beautiful, but what does that mean? The heart beats. Why does the heart beat? No one understands that. Where's the battery behind what we call life? But life everywhere we don't understand. Science never has gotten to the root of what is life. Science only understands how, not where it comes from. So science understands, you shock them, sometimes the heart starts again. But wait a second, when the heart's pumping, oh, that's life. That's, oh, we'll call it the soul. But that means science hasn't really gotten to the core of it. So we can talk about the pull of the sun on the earth, and we can talk about Einstein, but we don't really understand that. What we're working with is we're trying to understand the system. We don't really understand where it's coming from. We don't understand energy. We don't really understand it. We don't understand the energy in an atom. We don't understand any energy in life. So that energy is what we call life. And to some degree, that's what we call godliness. And to some degree, you can understand Maimonides, who describes that that is the Kabbalistic concept of Maaseh Merkava, the idea of cycles, the idea of one wheel, a set of gears, that God is the master turner of all the gears. If you want, you can view that as God giving energy into the world, because really, there's energy all around us, and we don't understand it, starting from ourselves. We don't understand how we live. We don't understand what makes our heart beat. So in ancient times, a guy would die, they'd close all the windows, keep the soul inside. They tried putting him in a box, closing the box, maybe that'll keep him alive. So today we know that doesn't work, right? But we don't understand what does work. We don't really understand why is our heart beating right now as we sit here and talk. So we understand the system to some degree. We understand the messages that the mind sends through the spine, but we don't really understand, okay, but what's that? What gives life to the mind? What is life? We don't understand it in the atom, and we don't understand it in the human. So we say that that is Hashem. That Hashem is the constant force that gives energy and life in the world. And today we understand that if you can break up one atom, so then you have an atomic bomb, right? You take the smallest thing, and you can pull out a little bit of the smallest components of an atom, and suddenly you have a tremendous reaction. Why? Because you're able to distort some of that energy to the smallest component. But wait a second. where is that energy coming from? Now we understand that that energy is enormous. That the smallest amount of matter has a tremendous amount of energy built into that smallest amount of matter. So suddenly when our sages tell us that in everything you see there is godliness because there is energy, and Hashem puts that energy into all of life and all of the planet, today we can understand it on a totally different level. So far we're together? Yeah? Okay. Now, if there are different elements, different levels of revelation, so the fact that Elokai neshamash natata bi, God has put life within me, which we say is some representation of Hashem, right? We treat a human being as something holy. What's holy about him? Ah, he has a soul. You know, you step on an ant. You shouldn't step on a human. But what's the difference? Is he just a more sophisticated organism? No, we say he has a soul and he doesn't have a soul. And I know a guy who, when his son would have friends over, he'd ask them, if your cat was drowning, And the stranger was drowning, who would you save? So if I don't appreciate the soul in the humans, he's just more sophisticated animals. I like the cat, I don't like the human. I don't know the human. But we say there's godliness in the human. There might even be godliness in the cat. Because we say there are five terms for the soul, and the cat has one of them. Right? There's nefesh, and an animal also is described as having a nefesh. And you see, we're not allowed to eat the blood of an animal. So that's a different discussion. But the fact that Hashem has representation or revelation within the world and everywhere in the world doesn't mean that that is Hashem. There's a big difference. If Hashem gives the energy for the atom to work, if Hashem gives the energy for the sun to rise, that doesn't mean that the sun is Hashem. So it's not a contradiction to monotheism. The fact that I say there's godliness in the stander does not make the stander Hashem. The fact that I say there's godliness within me does not make me God. It can be my soul, it could be the actual makeup of my body. All of that has a certain element of godliness to it. But am I God? That doesn't make me God. So it doesn't contradict monotheism. Contradicting monotheism is giving, as Nachmanides explains, attributing strength, capacity to affect the world the way we attribute to God. If you would say, this stender has God in it, and this stender could kill me, or decide I should live, or cure me, then I'm contradicting monotheism. But if I say that there is an element of God within this stender, that's not contradicting monotheism. So I don't think that we have to say that the approach that says that there's godliness in everything is contradictory to monotheism. To some degree, one can see godliness in everything. Not everyone agrees to that approach, but I don't think there's a problem with adopting that approach. There's a big argument between Maimonides and Nachmanides as to how much weight we give to nature. How much do we say God created a world and said, let it run? And how much do we say God is intimately involved in every step of the way? Today we have basically adopted Nachmanides' approach and not Maimonides' approach. When we take medication, when we pray for someone, we believe that every person and every step of the way, God is intimately involved. We're very comfortable leading our lives that way. That's not exactly agreed by everyone. It's not, you know, that's the approach we want to take. That's the approach that's become accepted by the Jewish people at large. So, okay, we go with that. But I'm just saying the concepts we're discussing are one approach. It's not like everyone has to agree to that approach. It's not a tenet of the Jewish faith. We say Hashem created the world and gave the world the energies that it has. Whether Hashem is intimately involved with every step of the way that's going on today or not, our approach is that he is. But that's still something to be discussed.
What would Rambam say he's not?
That's a new question. You get